All right, good morning. You know, Bible says in Paul's writings, how is it when you come together? Every man has a psalm, hath a doctrine, and what else was it? A couple things. So I was thinking when Santos was kept rolling along there, you know, definitely willing for if God gave a message to somebody that they could share it. So I'm serious about that. If you think you have something this morning God wants you to share, I will sit down. How does it say that? You sit down and let the next man take his turn or something like that. So feel free to raise your hand. But I found out Friday, I guess plans changed a little. I found out Friday that our speaker, his aunt passed away, and he couldn't be here today. We're going to have a visiting speaker. And then James said he could share a message, but he decided to go up to Wisconsin where they're having the funeral service for Linda's mother. And so he went there. And so then I got to thinking, Linda's father, I'm sorry, thank you. Linda's father, I believe it was. And some verse that I had read a few weeks back, I felt like I should share something about that, and I didn't even spend as much time as I normally do. That's why I said I think this might be a little shorter. But then as I got the time I did spend on it, I got rolling, and maybe it'll be longer than I think. But Santos mentioned doing the same old thing over and over. And I knew Joe was going to be the superintendent. So yesterday I texted him and said, you know, I'll just share a message first because it's going to maybe be a little shorter. And then he can do the testimony time or whatever he feels like doing, whatever God leads him to do after that. And so that's what we're going to do. So I thought about it that when, you know, how many people like when things, the order of our service just stays right on, you know, the same, or like doing things the same way every time. Well, this is a little different, but you know, it's a certain part of me likes when things stay the same, but not in a certain context, if you know what I mean. I like, you know, I have a certain cup that I like to drink coffee out of in the morning. It's just a good cup. And so I kind of like when that cup is there and it's not in the drainer or being used by somebody else. You know, there's certain things I like to stay the same. And then there's certain things I like when, you know, we do something a little different. I think you all probably can relate to that. So it was all settled. We had somebody to speak this morning until Friday, and then plans changed. But like the speaker said, people don't choose when they're going to die. So that can't be helped. That was that's God's up to God. So I'm planning to share a message. And last time I preached, I said the next time I'm going to share a message on Jesus, our advocate. And I was not ready to share that message, and so I focused on another verse for this message. And I would like you to turn to it, and it's in Zephaniah chapter 1. So if you would turn to that, I'd like if we all read it together. I'll give you a little time to find that. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah. Sometimes I look for those little books and I just can't seem to find them. I'm like paging all around them back and forth, but that's where it is. Habakkuk and Zephaniah. And the prophet here was speaking, most of this book, what is it, three chapters, and I didn't read the whole book, is speaking about the day of the Lord, a day of judgment and destruction. So if most of you have found that, chapter 1, verse 12, we will read that together slowly, and I'm going to have prayer first. Father in heaven, thank you for this time we could have this morning, and thank you that as we look into this part of your word, the Old Testament, that you would direct our hearts, our thoughts, and minds, and that your spirit would be with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so if you have that scripture, Zephaniah 1:12, read it with me. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. All right. Now the prophet here used a word picture that I'm guessing was familiar to his listeners, his readers, hearers, whatever you want to say. And so how many people, I just get an idea, when you see the phrase, the men that are settled on their lees, do you know what that means? How many people, who wants to volunteer? Raise their hand, volunteer to tell me what that means. Davey. Not hardly, but nice try. I mean, I think that is in a song. I'm trying to think. I think it does say that, unless it's spelled different. I'll have to check, but that's unfortunately not quite right. Okay. We'll let cheaters. Okay. I read it in other versions also. That's a word that I'm going to use later, so thank you for stealing my thunder. Anybody else want to go for it? And don't get your phone and look it up. Maybe you did. Okay. Okay. Okay, that's getting close. Okay, thank you. So, settled on their lees. So what is lees? If you look it up, it's basically just sediment or a word we would use now. And if you look in the NIV, it would say dregs. How many of you ever heard the word dregs? Or he's in the dregs of society, or, you know, they use, anyway, I'll read it to you in the NIV. Well, basically, it's a term used to describe wine or other liquids that if you set it around for a certain amount of time and you go to drink it, or you have a pitcher in our fridge, you know, we drink grape juice a lot. And if that sits in there long enough and you get to the bottom, you got pretty good amount of lees or dregs, or it's sediment. It's kind of sludgy, and it doesn't look very appetizing, or it's not something you want to get right to the bottom and just tip it up and all that stuff runs into your mouth. Looks kind of gross, but that's what it is. And you notice the King James does not even mention wine in this verse, but it just says men that are settled on their lees. But I'm guessing that the readers or the hearers actually knew what he was talking about. Now I'll read it to you in the NIV, and you read, what was it, ESV. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and punish those who are complacent, who are like wine left on its dregs, who think the Lord will do nothing, either good or bad. And so there's the word that was in the version there that you read, complacent, like wine left on its dregs. So winemaking 101 here this morning, we're going to learn a few things. So it would probably to be helpful for us to know what he's talking about, the process. And I gave a little bit of it already, but the prophets, they give all these word pictures, and if you're not familiar with them, you just pass over them. That's how I tend to do. So what is wine like that is left on its dregs or on its lees? You know, I thought of something that we could maybe relate to a little better. I brew coffee occasionally with a French press, and my grinder doesn't grind it exactly uniform, and so you have some fine and some more coarse. And so when you get to the bottom of your cup of coffee, you know, it does filter, has a little screen, filters it out. But you get to the bottom and you got these fine coffee grounds, dregs, you might be able to call them that, a little bit, maybe a little stretch of the word. But it's, and you can just let that in the bottom and, you know, pour it down the drain or drink it if you feel like it. But so you see, what is wine? Now thinking of wine, what is wine that's left on its lees? I'll read you this verse in the Amplified and we'll get a little bit of better idea. And I will punish the men who, like old wine, are stagnant in spirit. So if you take that version and you use the word that he used there, this wine that's left on its lees is stagnant. Okay, so it gets strange flavors. If you look it up, if it's left on the lees long enough, it'll get strange flavors. It'll eventually spoil because it'll be sitting over top of that, the dregs. So what is the solution for this problem? I'll read you another verse. Actually, I'll have you turn to this verse. This verse is found in Jeremiah. So turn back to Jeremiah. And we'll also read this verse together. What is the solution for this problem? The wine becoming stagnant. Or spoiling. Jeremiah 48:11. I just said Jeremiah. That's kind of a wide variety there for you to choose from. Jeremiah 48. Yeah, okay. This chapter now is talking about Moab. It's a message about Moab. And it's given all these things that's going to happen to Moab and, you know, the judgment that's going to come. But let's read verse 11 together. Moab has been at ease from his youth, and he hath settled on his lees and hath not been emptied from vessel to vessel, neither hath he gone into captivity. Therefore his taste remaineth in him, and his scent is not changed. Now, did you know that verse was in the Bible? So the same saying, the same thing, but it's adding something that the other verse didn't say. And here's what it's adding. It has not been emptied from vessel to vessel. So this is what they would do. When they were making wine, they would let it sit for a certain amount of time, and then they would pour it slowly into another vessel, just say, into another jar. They probably didn't have jars, another crock, whatever they used. And right when they got to the bottom, the last little bit of wine and everything that was in the bottom, they would throw out because it was the dregs. And so he's saying, this is the solution to your problem with the stagnant wine and the weird taste is that you pour it from container to container, jar to jar. Okay, another thing we can know about this or see, they had, the people of Moab had an easy life. Now, how many people would consider, I consider my life to be fairly easy when I looked at around the world and see what other people experience. How many of you would agree with that? You have an easy life? Now, I know a lot of you have been through some hard things, and maybe you feel like you have a pretty hard lot in life. And you do. But it's telling, you know, facing the death of a close family member, that's not an easy thing. But here, the people of Moab, it's telling them, and I think I can relate to this, that you basically have an easy life. You're at ease. And this easy life had made them stagnant. Okay? NIV, Moab has been at rest from youth, like wine left on its dregs, not poured from one jar to another. She hath not gone into exile, so she tastes as she did, and her aroma is not changed. So it specifically mentions she's not going into exile, like, you know, the children of Israel under Nebuchadnezzar. And I think if I'm right that Zephaniah was a prophet in that time period when the people had went into exile. So this is not Zephaniah, but this is Jeremiah. But she has not gone into exile. So that would have been a hardship in those people's lives, going into exile. Okay. You know, that one of the definitions for dregs is the most undesirable part. So all this stuff settles to the bottom, and you throw it out because it's the most undesirable part. And eventually, in the winemaking process, your wine becomes more transparent and more beautiful as you see it in a glass, because there's not all these things floating in there. It's been setting long enough that it all went to the bottom. You poured it off, and it becomes really transparent. So that was the winemaker's solution to keep the wine from becoming stagnant. You just pour it from jar to jar. And from these verses, from Zephaniah and Jeremiah, it seems like it's saying this is a negative thing. The settled men, and it doesn't, like King James doesn't even mention the wine. It says men that are settled on their lees. So here's where I want to use the word complacent. The NIV uses the word complacent. So without looking it up, who would like to define the word complacent? Because I was a little surprised. I would have had an idea what the word complacent means in my mind. So who'd like to venture to do that? Anybody? Oh, you can be wrong. It's no big deal. We've all been wrong before. Thaddeus? Mm-hmm. Calvin, did you have one? Okay. I think the word, was it being neglect or something, would have came to my mind, just complacent as in, yeah, the words you mentioned. I looked it up in Webster, and it gave there it is. Satisfied with the way things are and not wanting them to change. So that was interesting. Santos mentioned you do the same thing in your service, you know, Catholics, maybe us, Mennonites, same thing every time. Satisfied with the way things are and not wanting them to change. So I thought that was interesting as it applies to that verse. Marked by self-satisfaction, especially when accompanied by unawareness of actual dangers or deficiencies. So you're satisfied even when there's some signs of danger. So the Amplified use the word stagnant. Men who are stagnant in spirit. So we have two words, complacent and stagnant. Somebody tell me what stagnant means. This is a little easier, I think. Or give me an example. Well, not quite. I thought it was easier. Stale. Right? Anybody else? That's right. Yep. And so what is it about all these bodies of water that you said, why are they stagnant? You're getting too technical now. They don't move. Okay. They don't move. That's what I was looking for. So where's my definition? Oh, you don't want things to change. If you're complacent, you don't want things to change. So stagnant body of water is not flowing. It's not active or changing or progressing like a river or a stream would be. So it just doesn't move. It's kind of, what do you call that? Innate. And it probably lacks oxygen too. Okay, so we want to be like a river, not a stagnant body of water. John 7:38. He that believeth on me, then he says some other things, out of his belly shall flow liver. Yeah. I wasn't even trying that at all. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Got it. Okay, so who would be drawn if you're out in the woods or out in the field to take a drink out of a stagnant farm pond or here's a puddle, none moving. Who would be drawn to take a drink out of that? I don't think any one of us, unless we would be really desperate, would consider drinking out of that. You know, when you want to, some people like to sit by a stream or a river and relax. Why do they pick that? Why don't I say to my wife, come on, honey, let's go down. We're going to sit by the marsh tonight. And, you know, there's a little body of water off from the lake. I think Shawnee Lake has some of these that they just, it's kind of a, we're going to sit over there by that stagnant pool and just take our lawn chairs and relax. Maybe see who can get the most mosquito bites or something like that. We just don't do that. We like to sit by a flowing river or a stream or something like that. Something moving, something active. Okay, so you get my picture. Growing things change. You see that in nature all the time. I see that in my children. You know, sometimes you say, wow, they have changed. You look back at pictures, they have really grown. And sometimes we say it with almost a tinge of sadness because you'll never see them like this again. But, you know, if they'd stay there, then you'd say, what's wrong? There is something wrong with my child because he's not growing. He's not changing. So growing things change. Just look at nature. Look at anything in nature. And if we are growing up in the Lord, we should be changing from glory to glory. Not complacent, which I'll give you the definition again, satisfied with the way things are, not wanting them to change, and not stagnant, not none moving or none flowing. none changing or progressing. And here's one other thing I want us to get in out of Zephaniah. The complacent men's view of God. I don't know if anybody wants to flip back to that verse, or maybe you remember it, Zephaniah 1:12. What was their view of God? Does anyone remember their view of God? Yeah. And he's, their view of God was that he was what? Basically, he is complacent or inactive. So I found it very interesting that a complacent or a stagnant person's view of God is that God is inactive. He is also complacent. So I thought that was very interesting about that. Do you ever take this view that, God, you're not doing anything. You're not doing anything good in my life. And you're not really doing anything evil. You're just not doing anything. There's people that, like Elam said, that have that view. And sometimes it's me. So if God seems inactive to me or to you, what is our problem? Problem that we are maybe complacent or stagnant. So what is the remedy for complacency? This is a little go over it again. How do you keep wine from becoming stagnant and picking up weird flavors when during the process of making wine? Somebody want to tell me? Mark. Pour it from one jar to the other. It's called racking. You rack your wine. Okay, so for us, we need to be poured from one jar to another. You know, sometimes you think, I'm going through all this stuff in my life. Can it ever just be, you know, nice, easy life? Do I ever, you know, when one thing dies down, something else comes up. Why can't I just have it a little more easy? Well, you know, that's probably God's way of getting rid of the most undesirable part, dregs. The dregs that are in my life, in your life. God takes you through trials. He's making you more transparent, sweeter, like fine wine. And so the message to myself, to all the men here, you know, it was talking about men sitting around on their dregs, on their lees. That's pretty funny. Maybe you don't wear that kind of pants, but men sitting around on their lees. That's actually what it says. And he had no idea that we were going to be wearing lees like 2,000 years later. But pouring from jar to jar, God is keeping you from becoming stagnant. Each time throwing away, getting rid of the most undesirable part, the dregs. Changing you from glory to glory, so God bless you.